You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm really excited to be joined, as always, each week with Brad Lominick. Hey, Brad.
I'm back in the saddle again. I don't know what song that is, but it was an awful rendition.
I think it was... It's not like the Curly Shuffle, but that was a bad.
Yeah. Hello, people.
Back in the Saddle band that wrote and recorded the Curly Shuffle.
The Curly Shuffle.
The song?
From the Three Stooges, Curly Shuffle?
Yeah, there's a song. See, I'm like old.
I grew up watching the Three Stooges.
And who is your favorite stooge?
You know what? That's tough. I mean, probably Moe. Because Mo was the prankster.
He's the man.
Mo was like, I mean, Curly too. It's hard between. I didn't like Larry because he was always the straight guy. He was the one that, you know, was trying to toe the line on everybody stay in check.
See, now I'm probably the Larry guy.
Oh, you are? You're
Yeah, because I like the guy who tries to bring sanity to crazy conditions.
Yeah, that's good. And then who was the fourth? Who was the cousin that they brought
Shep.
In? Shep.
Yeah.
We're definitely aging ourselves right now.
There are people out there going, oh, is that a remake?
Three Stooges. I'm sure Three Stooges has got to be on Hulu or Netflix, or you got to consume Three Stooges in the day of everything being online for free.
Yeah.
There's got to be some Three Stooges episodes out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
So, Bree, how about you? Do you have a Three Stooges? You have no idea.
She's like, what are you talking about? I'm 20-something, and
so yeah,
this is so below me. What's your favorite show currently that you're watching? What's your favorite sort of binge-worthy Netflix episode series or network TV?
I don't have TV.
Okay. Well, that's very 20-something of you,
by the way. Do not have a TV in our house. We do have one that we can pull out, and we have a Roku that you can hook up, but we stopped paying for that. So really, we can watch movies, but...
Are you on the Netflix?
I am sometimes on the Netflix, and my husband's in medical school, so oftentimes we are watching a Grey's Anatomy or House or something like that. So basically, I'm getting my honorary MD.
Well, it's interesting, like the new generation of especially young, married, 20-somethings, they're not buying traditional cable, just like you, Brie. Like, you don't have a TV, you're not paying for cable, you're not paying for DirecTV, you're not paying for Comcast. What you are saying is I'll watch it online if I want, but then I'll just access it on demand when I need it.
Yeah, everything's at our fingertips now. It's changing the game.
But you know, with DirecTV, if you were subscribing to DirecTV, you could watch it also on your phone if you're an AT&T subscriber. Are you an AT&T subscriber, Ron? Are you AT&T phone?
I am. I'm an AT&T guy.
Are you a DirecTV guy?
We are.
Okay, so you know, if you have the app, then you can watch DirecTV without using any data anytime on your phone. I just recently switched over to AT&T from Verizon.
So
it's fresh of mind. It's fresh of mind. Yes, because DirecTV and AT&T are all now the same company, and they have changed the game of data-free live streaming of all of your DirecTV channels on your phone anytime, anywhere.
Can I get my DVR on there?
You can, yes. Oh, anything that's been recorded on your DirecTV can now be accessed on your phone, again, data-free. So this is a Brad Recommends moment. Brad Recommends.
Can they come on, you know, as a sponsor?
Absolutely. AT&T, if you're listening, DirecTV, if you're listening, we would love for you to be a sponsor of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. In fact, you should just send us money because I just said what I said. Three people have already transferred their subscription from Verizon and T-Mobile, Sprint, over to AT&T because of a Brad Recommends moment.
I don't even remember what we're supposed to be talking about. I'm lost.
This is your job, Ron. You're in the left seat, man. You're the you're in the captain's chair.
I went on autopilot.
You did, yeah. We turned on autopilot for a second.
Bree took the mic away, and you know, all of a sudden I was.
Can we get Bree a mic? I mean, can we get a budget bump here on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast? And actually, that way Bree can be our go-to young. I'm not going to call you a millennial because you don't like to be called that, but you can be our go-to emerging leader. That we check in from time to time to make sure we're still on point.
Yeah,
just saying.
You know, then she couldn't just wear her really cool Beats headphones.
Right. I do think the people would like to hear the voice of, you know, your fine, I don't know if you're an alto or a soprano. You probably know what that is, but your fine female voice, I think, would be a nice mixture into the conversation here.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Share.
Yeah. Okay, AT&T, get on the horn quick. Because
buy Brie a mic.
Buy Brie a mic. Hashtag buy Brie a mic.
So learning styles. Let's talk about that. We're both big learners. That's very high on our strengths. So, you know, when you're learning, what's your go-to?
Well, right now, this season of life, it's podcast. So I'm both a part of podcasts and hopefully trying to bring some value and perspective and maybe some leadership nuggets here and there. But I also am just a massive consumer of podcasts. I think I have a list in a spreadsheet somewhere of around 100 podcasts that I'm currently trying to listen to. Not regularly, not listening to that many podcasts a week, but I've got around 100 on a list of those that I find to be helpful. And I tend to go back to that list on a regular basis. I probably have 15 or 20 that I listen to on a regular basis. You know, you mentioned Ken Coleman. The Entree Leadership is one of those that is sort of a no-miss for me. Comes out weekly on Monday. Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, which I know you listen to, Ron.
I do.
Craig Rochelle. He's another pastor of a church called Life Church in Oklahoma City. He has a leadership podcast. And Andy and Craig's both, they're talking general leadership.
Yeah, it's not their sermons.
Right.
It's really about how to build and grow. They've both been incredible about building multiple site locations that keep the quality up in this incredible customer service.
Yeah.
And their own leadership journeys, because neither one of them had any background at all in leadership, management, business before they've started doing really incredible stuff.
Yeah. I also listen to Tim Ferriss's show quite often. I listen to Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness. Fortune Unfiltered is a new one that I really like. Aaron Task is the host of that one. He's interviewing, you know, different CEOs. I can't wait to start listening to the one you mentioned to me, David Axelrod's.
Yeah, The X-Files.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about jumping into that one. And this is a breaking news one moment right here. I don't know when this people are listening to this, but Charles Duhigg is starting a new one.
He is.
That will be called Change Agent, coming out sometime in the spring of 2017. So that's another one I'm going to be looking forward to. Malcolm Gladwell's is a great one. It's not regular. He sort of has seasons of it, Revisionist History. So those are a few. And the great thing about it, it's free. Hello. It doesn't cost anything. And, you know, the value is exponentially more than the cost, which is free. So it's a great way to learn. You know, do it in the car. You can listen anytime. I run a lot. And so that's my time to really dive into all these different podcasts. I take notes in my phone. You know, a lot of people use Evernote. I just use the Notes app, and I've got, I don't know, probably 20,000 words in my Notes app, and I hope that doesn't ever get deleted. Those are all just notes that when I'm listening to a podcast, I'll hear something that I like and I'll write it down, or it'll spur something that is new to me that will potentially go in a book or on a blog, or and I have to stop and walk during those times. Yeah. I haven't figured out how to run and type with my thumbs at the same time. But that's one really tangible thing that I'm trying to do on a regular basis is listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I'm the same way. So I'm looking at my phone right now. So my go-to for podcasts is I have all my podcasts on Overcast.
Okay.
It's a great app that lets me store them. It lets you fast forward or go back, rewind 30 seconds at a time.
So you use that instead of iTunes?
I do.
Okay.
So it coordinates with my iTunes account, but you can also load. It's very easy to use. It's so easy. It's a free app. And so I'm listening to 22. I just counted it up.
That you subscribe to.
That I subscribe to, yeah. That I'm listening to. You know, those that you mentioned are all on my list. Donald Miller's Story Brand.
Yes. Great one.
I really like his stuff. The podcast isn't so much about story. It's about how to apply techniques to tell your story better. Barnabas Piper and Todd Atkins, 5 Leadership Questions. They're digging out kind of nuggets of gold. I almost never listen to that I don't have to pull over if I'm driving and write something down.
Yeah.
Aspen Ideas to Go. I like a diversity of thought. And what I like, a lot of theirs are interviews. So it's a podcast, but it's an interview from the Aspen Ideas Festival. And they'll break it up. It will be 15 minutes of a thought leader talking and then 15 minutes or so of an interview about Current Conditions.
I didn't have that one on my list. I just wrote that one down.
And it is really good. And then I'm an economic development growth kind of guy. So there's a new podcast called The Project Inside Corporate Location Decisions. It's done by a group in New York City called Development Counselors International. And it goes deep on why companies decide to locate in different places. And it's really an insight. And then I think everybody kind of in leadership or business or the church, if it's got Michael Hyatt on theirs. Yeah. He has a brand new one. When we're recording this, isn't out yet. He's kind of blowing up his whole style, blowing up how he's doing it, changing. And so I'm really excited because he invariably does things around changing the culture of how things are done that really impact my leadership, my own organization. So
I know you're a book guy too. Are you an audiobook guy now more?
So I try to at all times have kind of three books going. One of them that's leadership oriented, one that's a biography, and then one that's purely a fiction novel. You know, I'm finding I get a lot out of biographies of people who I wouldn't necessarily know their work otherwise. I just finished a biography. It kind of goes on relationships, which we've talked about, by a guy named Shep Gordon. So the book is They Call Me Supermensch. Now, if F-bombs and kind of blue conversation bother you, this may not be the book for you. It is not just a little coarse. It's coarse. He's the talent agent who essentially invented Alice Cooper. So he was Alice Cooper, who originally was a band, their agent, and then they morphed Alice Cooper into a person. And Shep's been the agent for the man we know as Alice Cooper, who is apparently not that radical since he plays golf every day with Pat Boone.
Right.
But Shep also invented celebrity chefs. They didn't exist before him, but it was this relationship piece where he found this chef in France who he just thought was amazing. And the world thought he was amazing. And so he was getting invited to do all these things. And he discovers the guy's not getting paid. That chefs would go cook at big events and they would get whatever their daily wage was. Mm. And there was no TV for them. And so he invented celebrity chefs and got them contracts and got them TV work and got them speaking gigs and product endorsement and has built this incredible industry that all owes itself to this guy who calls himself the Supermensch. And I think Mike Myers, the actor, even did a biography movie about him. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I listened to an interview I think Tim Ferriss did with Shep. Yeah, it was fascinating. I didn't know the book existed.
Yeah, so he reads it himself. And so I like books where the author reads it themselves, particularly at biography. So if I find a biography that interests me, I'll immediately go look and say, is it on audio? And does the author do it himself? If the author does it himself, then that's where I'm going. And I listen to two books a month, probably some months more. And then I'm reading biography or two a month. And I've taken that I only read novels at night, because it helps my mind shut down. Otherwise, I wake up at 3 in the morning trying to solve a problem. And so novels at night, and that's generally one a month, maybe one every 6 weeks.
Yeah, and on that at night, you know, I mean, a lot of people know this, but make sure you're using something that is analog. Don't read on your screen, because that blue light that's coming from your iPhone or your iPad. Now there are filters that you can put in place, but it'll actually keep you up.
Yeah,
you
know, so it's stimulating your brain.
Yes, just be sure you're going old school with the actual book, or you're pulling that light down to such a level that it's not going to keep you up at night. The other piece is videos and being able to watch talks. I mean, TED.com. There's so many great resources out there today. Like anybody who comes to me and says, Brad, I'm really struggling with figuring out how do I keep growing as a leader. I just want to punch them right in the forehead. Because today, more than ever, information, inspiration, learning is at our fingertips. So we have no excuses anymore. And
leaders, all the knowledge of the world essentially is on your phone.
It is available to us, not only in a way that we can consume it, but a lot of it's available for very low cost. So the barrier to entry anymore is so low that none of us have an excuse. And don't let your title or position dictate that you think you know it all now. And, you know, John Wooden, the legendary coach, it was his quote that I love, which is, it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. And leaders are learners. Leaders are lifetime learners. Like you never arrive. And so my encouragement is, you know what, like figure out what that is for you, your pattern, your routine, your podcast, your books, your videos, your audio, whatever it is. But put that into the system, because we just don't have an excuse today to say, I'm too busy.
There are people who get shut down. It's in my dog, Truman, the world's greatest Labrador Retriever. So
who doesn't actually retrieve anything.
His toys. That's right. One at a time. But if you want to shut Truman down, put all of his toys in one pile, completely shuts him down because he doesn't know which one to play with. And he gets overwhelmed by the choices. And I think a lot of us do that in our own leadership. Yep. We get overwhelmed with the choices, so we don't do anything. So in those cases, and I do this myself, I find people who curate for me. So you're great about that. So once a month, you come out with this great list of young leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my fears. A lot of us, it's our fear in life that, you know, we're going to get old or get irrelevant. So I'm always looking for young leaders who are just doing cool things. It may not be that I can directly do or even want to do the things they're doing, but I can learn from, and I can use them to teach. So when my young team members come and say, I'm trying to solve a problem, I go, hey, go listen to this guy. Go watch this video. Here's somebody. And so you curate that for me, but find a podcast you like. They almost all do show notes these days.
Yep.
And they'll reference people and then put that in there and use those as connectors. Link onto that. Go see what they're doing. Follow those trails.
It is.
Are there people curating for you that come to mind?
I mean, I have a lot of email newsletters that I now subscribe to that are curation newsletters.
No.
You know, a great one just off the top of my mind is Max Anderson has one that I think he calls it the Weekly Commentary. I think it's maxwellanderson.com. He does one and he dives into a topic, say it's, the state of immigration today. And he'll pull the best 5 or 7 articles on that from the week.
Oh, how cool.
And not only give comments on that, he gives a little snapshot, but then he links to the full article. And then he says, here's what I would say to take away from this, which is fabulous. Actually, Gary Vaynerchuk turned me on to a new one that I'm calling called Red F, or it may be Redef. I'm not sure how to say it. I think it's Redef. It's Redef. I think the guy's name is Jason Hishorn. But just look up REDEF, and he basically is giving the links from today or yesterday of all the things I need to know from all sort of the news world. Now, he leans technology, but that's another great one that I saw Vaynerchuk was talking about it and endorsed it, and I started subscribing to it. And again, like, that's such a great way for me to be aware of things, but I didn't have to go work for an hour to find all those articles. Somebody's helping me do that. And the curators are actually the new true influencers, I think, going forward.
I think so too.
And, you know, if you're curating and you're like building that, if people say, how do I build a tribe? Just start curating and people will follow you.
No, I think you're dead on. It's like my go-to news source. The Wall Street Journal shows up on my desk every morning, but I've already read the news for the day because I read the skim.
There you go. The skim is another one I get. Yeah.
And the two ladies who are running that are just killing it. They're making things that otherwise I go, why am I supposed to care? All of a sudden they're telling me why I'm supposed to care. And here's a link to a story they've curated from a guaranteed insured source that we can count on. And so I think that's really good. And then Tim Ferriss always has
five bullet Fridays.
Yeah, that's right. And he's referencing, here's people that you ought to listen to or know. And again, they may not all be there for you, but you're going to find gold along the way in that. And I think it's really important that we do that, because in a world where there's fake news, and I know we all can't really describe that, and that's not to say news I disagree with.
Right.
It's news stories about
Barbara Stanwyck was gorgeous as a young woman, but see what she looks like today.
Right.
You know, it's like, what? This isn't real stuff. And then you get there and it's trying to sell you, you know, the latest nonstick skillet.
Yeah. And, you know, I know we got to wrap up, but the idea that I only consume things from people that think like me, it's such a low level of thinking about your leadership and also the way you're actually going to grow. So be open to learning from people who are not just different from you, but actually you may not agree with. And, you know, don't get your news sources or your learning from only this same little niche group that is not going to really push the boundaries for you, not going to challenge you. When you hear from people or you listen or learn from people you don't agree with, it doesn't mean you're going to all of a sudden start agreeing with them. It just means that the things you believe in actually become stronger. But somehow we've gotten into this mode in our country, especially in the U.S., of I can only listen to those that think and act and dress and believe like I do. So, you know, get out of your comfort zone.
That would be like saying I'm only going to go to restaurants that serve hamburgers.
Right.
Yeah. I'm never going to eat another kind of food other than hamburgers.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I'm going to do on white buns with, you know, leaf lettuce on them and three condiments. You might do that for 3 weeks. You know, if you do it any longer, that becomes a compulsion. And, you know, they have people who can talk you through that and medicine that can help. But we do that with consuming ideas.
Yeah.
It's not healthy for us. No more healthy for us than only eating cheeseburgers.
That's right. Yes. And the reality is there's great food out there.
There is.
Go get you some Thai. Go get you a new Chinese restaurant. Get into some Italian. Have you a little Tex-Mex here and there. You know, maybe some British food. Not. That might be the worst food of all of the food choices out there is the British food. I love the Brits. I love those who hail from the mothership, the UK. But their food options are awful. So I would just say keep that one off your list.
So you're not eating fish and chips every day?
I'm not really going in for the shepherd's pie and the fish and chips.
Yeah, no. I have good Indian. I like British Indian food.
But see, that's it's an import. It's an import.
Yeah, because I don't like rice, and so they eat their Indian food on French fries.
The best food in London is brought to you from all those outside of London.
Yeah, that's like most places. You know, one of the other sources I think is great, and I think it's going to be huge as our country is more divided, is there's a publication that comes out each week called The Week. So they take significant stories each week, and it's available online. I think they have a great Twitter follow as well, but they're still a traditional magazine, and they will take a story and they will give you a liberal view and a conservative view of the exact same story from, it's all third-party stories. So you get the London Times and the New York Times both talking about trade in America. And or you
interesting.
Yeah, you get these publications and writers who one you would otherwise never see, but you get what the difference in perspective is. I taught a course once and used it as that was my weekly reading for the students. And it was, I want you to find everything they agree on. And then take what they don't agree on, and let's just talk about those points. So what you end up finding, it was nuance that they didn't agree on. The vast majority of it, both parties, both sides of the argument agreed upon, was just the last 10%.
That's so good.
We as leaders can address the 10% if we just agree that it's that first 90% that we all want the same thing.
Yeah. Well, again, leaders are learners. So this is our responsibility. It's part of our job description.
Yeah. Well, Brad, thanks for being here with me today, and thank you all for listening to us. We'll see you next week on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.